We're beginning Sefer Shmos this week, and we're entering Parshios that deal with Klal Yisrael when they are in Mitzrayim. There is much discussion about the status of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. There are those who view them based on Pesukim and Sefer Yecheskel. Maybe we'll talk about this in a future week as people who were engaged in a variety of Averos, and Klal Yisrael was in a very, very low spot, and there's a need to try to get them out at the last second. That's why there was even the Geula began a bit earlier. But there are definitely Midrashim that come along and appear to praise Klal Yisrael while they were in Mitzrayim. The Medrash, in a couple of places, knows that there were several things that Klal Yisrael did when they were in Mitzrayim. The two that I think are the two most prominent are Shloshinu Es Shemam and Shloshinu Es Lashonam. That when Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, they did not change their names, and Klal Yisrael also did not change at all their language. Those are both discussions that emerge in some of the Sifri Halacha, Rav Moshe, Teshuva, Negros Moshe, about non-Jewish names. Lashon HaKodesh is also a discussion as how much it is or isn't really a mitzvah. The Rambam, Peirush HaMishnah, and Avos, it's all discussions. But I want to try to develop in Machshava three different approaches that you find amongst Baalei Machshava. Why it was so significant that Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim were at that Madrega where Shloshinu Es Shemam v'Shloshinu Es Lashonam, and what exactly the meaning and significance of that is. The first Mahalach is the Mahalach of the Maharal in Netzach Yisrael. The Maharal references what he writes in Gevuras Hashem also. And that is that these are two of the things that really distinguish a nation. There is always a risk when you're a minority in a country of many, so the Iker is Poter Es HaTafel, the Tafel sometimes gets subsumed within the Iker. And there's always a concern that if Klal Yisrael is going to be Mitzrayim, that they're going to be put in a position where they're going to lose their actual identity. Therefore, it was significant. So one of the things, or two of the things, that really allow a person to maintain their own separate identity is when you have different names and you speak a different language. That's a way of being part of a country, but still, even though I'm there, being able to remain distinct and remain unique. For the Maharal, that's definitely part of a larger perspective on how Klal Yisrael are really a nation which is distinct from all the other nations in Am HaNivchar, which is fundamentally different. From non-Jews, and therefore it became all the more critical, or the more significant, that Klal Yisrael were able to maintain Shloshinu Es Shemam and Shloshinu Es Lashona. A second Mahalach is found in the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar in the beginning of Sefer Shemos has a very beautiful idea, and one that I think is interesting. The Medrash tells us, we know that in the beginning of Sefer Shemos, so we have a restatement of the names of the Shvatim. The Kli Yakar points out that the Medrash tells us that the names of all of the Shvatim built into those names are hints to the eventual Geula. That the name Reuven has within it a hint to the nature of Geula. Shimon, all the Shvatim, their names are not just regular names, they're names that remind us of the Geula. Shloshinu Es Shemam and Shloshinu Es Lashonam suggest that Kli Yakar is so critical, so Klal Yisrael would remain connected to the idea of Geula. Shemam, Klal Yisrael's name, the names of the Shvatim, those were names that were always going to remind us of the eventual Geula, even though we were going to be Avadim in Mitzrayim. Says the Kli Yakar, why is the language so important? Because even if the name is a reference to the Geula, it only actually references the Geula if you know the language. If you don't know the language, so it's hard to know the significance of that name. Like many people have a first name or have a last name, and it's not always so clear to them exactly what the source is of that last name, what from a different language, what it comes from. So says the Kli Yakar that the primary function, the primary purpose of Shloshinu Es Shemam, Shloshinu Es Lashonam, was for Klal Yisrael to remember their name. It wasn't a question of the specific language that they spoke, but it was they remembered that connection to the world of Geula that was hinted to by the names of the Shvatim. Within that, a very, very powerful message. It was less about Klal Yisrael being distinct, but Klal Yisrael, as much as they were going to be in Mitzrayim, as much as they were going to be Avadim in Mitzrayim, it was their own capacity, it was their own very special and unique capacity to remember Geula, even under such circumstances. Certainly a very powerful idea for us. What Moshe points out in his tshuva, we're away from the Baalei HaTosfos. You have this in Chazal a bit, names that are not classically Jewish names, and that's not necessarily a halachic issue, but definitely to remember some of the ideas behind that, and that is that us, when we're found to be in Gullus, be it physically in Gullus or spiritually, not to have Binyan Beis HaMikdash, to remember the significance of Geula. There is a beautiful Mahalach, a third perspective on the significance of Shloshinu Es Shemam and Shloshinu Es Lashonam. Let's start like this. The Rashbam in Sefer Shmos, and you find some of the Mefarshei HaPshat. The Rashbam actually argues with this Medrash. The Rashbam writes that Klal Yisrael, when they were in Mitzrayim, did speak Egyptian. He doesn't argue it explicitly, but he does write that they spoke Egyptian. The Mor V'Shemesh points out, Torah Chassidus, I don't understand even on a basic level. You can't live in another country and not speak the language at all. It's impossible for a small nation to be there. They have to interact with Egyptians. They have to have some interaction. Is it really possible that they have absolutely no... They were really talking Hebrew the entire time? Really? The Mor V'Shemesh therefore suggests that Shloshinu Es Lashonam is not about the actual language that they spoke. Suggest the Mor V'Shemesh. Lashon Kodesh, I speak Hebrew, or whether I speak English or any other language, is nowhere near as... And that's not what this Medrash is really referring to. There's a certain manner of speech. A certain way that a person can communicate. They can communicate with a certain kind of kedusha. They can communicate with a certain kind of holiness. They're able to not speak Lashon Hara, to not speak with Nivol Peh, to speak with a certain sense of kedusha. That is called Shloshinu Es Lashonam. Says the Mor V'Shemesh, you can speak Hebrew and not be speaking in any real way. That's called Shinu Es Lashonam. That's called not a holy kind of speech. Similarly, suggest Mor V'Shemesh, you can be speaking Egyptian, and you can be speaking English, and that can still be called, in a certain sense, you are not pogam bris halashon. You did not at all negatively impinge on the kedusha of your mouth. You can be speaking in a holy way. You can be speaking in a holy way, despite the fact that you are right now not speaking that exact language. Let's chazer and try to point out a couple of things. Chazal praised Bnei Yisrael Shloshinu Es Lashonam, that Klal Yisrael kept their same speech. Some view that from a halachic perspective, but we are noting it from the perspective of Torah Samachshava. What is the significance of Klal Yisrael speaking Shloshinu Es Lashonam? Mahalach number one is the Mahalach of the Maharal, that they remained separate and distinct. Mahalach number two, they always remembered the Geula, the Mahalach of the Kli Yakar. And Mahalach number three, from the Mor V'Shemesh, it's not a question of the language per se, but it's one that reflects much more the Kedusha, the manner in which they carried themselves, and how exactly they spoke. On one level, this Medrash is very important for a question that we're not going to relate to as much today, but just relate to reference it, which is why Klal Yisrael were Zocha to Geula. There really seem to be two different perspectives, and that within, you have this in the Gemara Sanhedrin about Geula in general, you definitely have this with variety of Mikubalim about Yetzias Mitzrayim, whether Klal Yisrael were really worthy or were not worthy of Geula. Many of these perspectives describe Klal Yisrael as being a group that was very, very holy, in which case the Geula was not necessarily because, oh, what was the other option? They were going to fall so much and we have to get them out now, but really because on some level they really did deserve it. But there is a second point which I think is significant. It is possible that these three ideas are nowhere near as separate and distinct as maybe they initially seem, but they really all do go hand in hand. The Maharal is speaking about the need for Klal Yisrael to remain separate and distinct. It is possible that when a nation remains separate and distinct, that is the Maharal's Mahalach, that's what allows them to have the Mahalach of the Kli Yakar. What allows you to remember and to aspire for a certain kind of Geula, it is the fact that you remain separate and distinct. It is the fact that you are never fully, fully immersed in the world of Mitzrayim. If you become one with Mitzrayim, if the Tafel is subsumed within the Iker, so you're never really going to want to have that same sense of Geula. And maybe the last idea, one of the most helpful tools for maintaining a certain sense of religiosity and for spiritual growth, I think of Chaim Vital has it, the way that we speak is so, so important. It's a constant reminder, it's a constant means that we have to check ourselves and see where we are really at. That if you want to talk about how to remain distinct, so one thing you could do is you could dress a certain way, that's one possible option, but the way that we speak is so important, especially because, as we've referenced a bunch of times, Unklus tells us, that's what makes man unique. What makes man unique is his ability to speak, and therefore when you elevate your speech, you're elevating your status as a person. Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim were able to be in a very, very low place, and to maintain certain very, very holy standards. So Shinu Es Lashonam and Shinu Es Shemam, we're not always able to be at the exact madrega that we may want to be. We may always not be able to be in the place that we'd ideally want to be in. But it doesn't mean that we can't have a little bit of Shloshinu Es Lashonam, whether that means literally speaking Lashon HaKodesh, like it may be for the Maharal, or it may be just about reminding ourselves of a desire for an eventual geula, and reminding ourselves to try to speak with a certain sense of holiness. Shkoyach, guys, have a wonderful, wonderful.